The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
The UAB Director's Chair cannot be done without the director and without a chair. We have two of them. I'm Tony Curry, and he's Mark Ingram. He is the UAB Athletic Director. Go Blazers. Mark, how you doing, brother? Let me ask you this. You know, when your kid turns 18, you're like, how does it feel to be 18, even though it's like 1 hour removed from being 17? What's it feel like to be the athletic director for a school now in the AAC?
Yeah, it's fun, man. I told everybody last week, they're like, hey, what's going to happen on July 1st? I was like, it's like Y2K, you know, watching our digital clocks. We're making sure that our phones still work, and it does. Fortunately, good news, crisis averted. The digital clocks, the microwave, the VCR, it's all still set. No worries there. But it was a fun time, and I called Judy McLeod, the commissioner of Conference USA, and left her a message telling her how much we've enjoyed our relationship, and did the same with Mike Oresco about joining the American. And it was kind of this energy around our department anyway, that we're taking a new step in sort of the evolution of our program and stepping forward and really starting to be the program I think everybody, all of us fans knew we could be. So it's just really exciting.
Well, let's dive into this a little bit. Outside changing the letterhead, you're not changing offices. I know you're changing conferences. You're changing teams you play weekly. And I know there's probably a lot of work that's entailed in that. But what else changes as far as in going from one conference to another?
Well, you know, you say that about the letterhead, and there's kind of a lot of stuff like that, actually, that internally we've got to, you know, it's the logo on the basketball court, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be handled. We've got a logo on the football field. Now, that's something we paint on every game, so that's not hard. But there's a lot of things like that that we've got to go around. And, you know, over time, you walk past it every day, and you forgot you even look at it, and you look up and you go, huh. Look at that.
Is this a possibility for some rebranding for UAB? Are you changing any of your logos?
No. We're not yet. I mean, we are always kind of talking about that. You know, you want to make sure that your marks are fresh and that people like them, and you kind of judge that based on sales for us. Our best sales outlet, retail outlet, is the bookstore here on campus. And so we can talk to the manager over there, like, hey, does this logo sell or does that one sell or which is better? And yeah, our dragon logo sells really well. The kind of italicized UAB with the flames inside, it sells really well. And anyway, we're constantly talking about that, though. You know, should we do anything to refresh the brand? But yeah, I'm talking about just places where the Conference USA logo was up on a wall, painted on something that you just see it all the time and you forget it's there. And so we've been looking at that for 2 years. So we're evolving there and just continue to get ready for this fall.
And I know it's crazy, but you know, this Game of Thrones thing it's had some legs now for quite some time. People love dragons. I mean, I could see, and I'm speaking from a Xavier University standpoint, people love the X. I mean, I ran into a guy the other day, he was wearing a Xavier hat, and I said, oh, you're a Xavier fan. He didn't even know what I was talking about. He just liked it because it had an X on it with a musket. It's like, you know, it's a musketeer you have on your hat there, cool dude.
Yeah.
But dragons are hot, man. So, I mean, you might as well strike where the dragon's hot. Get after it.
Dragons are hot.
We be dragons, brother.
We be dragons.
He's Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. It's called the UAB Director's Chair. You can hear at least 5 days a week in the TKR app and wherever you get your podcast. And our podcasts are doing fine. Thank you very much. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with a lot of the great emails we get, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll start something next week. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. We'll give you a chance to win some stuff next week right here on Tony Curry Radio through UAB, so keep that in mind. You mentioned this last week, Jameson goes to the Suns for the Summer League. Walker, congratulations to Jelly. He's going to the Dallas Mavericks on a one-year deal, and that always looks good. From a university standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, and I know you're like a papa, you're proud. Will anything be shown on campus at basketball games, on the court for these guys, for previous players? I know you I know you hang jerseys and banners and stuff, and I'm not saying that you should retire these jerseys, but any recognition there?
Yeah, well, we have places in our basketball facility that show, you know, former players who played professionally, and then we have for Jordan Walker, we have banners in the practice facility that show players of the year, and so he was player of the year. Not this past season, but the season before, he was the Conference USA Player of the Year. So we've had that banner up for quite some time. So we recognize those guys, and we want to make sure that recruits and current players, when they come through, they know, hey, if you come here, you can be like them. You can go pro from UAB, and there's an opportunity here. So now that's an important thing to do, and we take that, you know, really seriously.
All right. Anything else going on? By the way, if you do go to their website, it's beautiful because there it is, the AAC right there on the front. And it says, do you want to skip this in the future? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to keep hitting it every time. So I think that's
every time.
Every single time. And of course, a lot of news in there about everything that's going on with UAB sports. Anything else going on? How's your summer going? What's the busiest season for Mark Ingram when you're an athletic director for most guys? What's the busiest part? Because I would think you're starting to ramp up for college football now. That's going to be, I mean, we say less than 100 days. It might as well be less than 20 because I'm sure you're getting after it. Now, the fact that you're moving into another conference, you've got to be a busy man.
Yeah, you know, the busiest time for all of us is really basketball season. And it's because at the start of basketball season, you're still also playing football. And in our case, men's soccer, women's soccer, and volleyball. So you've got multiple sports now. And then when those end in the fall, basketball flips over to the spring, and then you overlap with tennis, golf, baseball, softball. Yep. You know, you've got all the track, you've got all these other sports. And now track is interesting because they've got cross country in the fall, but we only host one meet usually. But then indoor season happens, and we'll have like one meet. And then we have in the past hosted the Conference USA Championship here at the Birmingham Crossplex, but it's when these sports overlap that it gets really crazy. And I would say that window in the spring when we're still playing the basketballs and the baseballs and softball starts because they have so many competitions, it gets really wacky. This is the only time of the year that anybody can really take a vacation.
Yeah.
So we had camps going until about the 21st of June. And from that next day, the 22nd, until probably third week of July, that's kind of your vacation window. That's sort of when you feel comfortable to go anywhere. But otherwise, you know, if you're not on vacation, you're doing planning and getting prepped for, as you said, it, the fall season. And we have both soccer teams and volleyball. They start playing in August, not practicing, playing in August. So it's not far away.
I want you to clarify something here and bring some normalcy and some sanity to college sports. And I don't know if you saw this, but University of Arizona president came out, what was it, yesterday, and basically said that college sports, his name is, I'm trying to find it here, Robert Robbins. I couldn't remember it. He came out and said that the college sports is in the ICU, is what he said.
Yeah.
He said with the NIL deal and the Supreme Court getting involved and, of course, the SEC's up in Washington meeting with congressmen talking about, you know, the transfer portals and the fact that people are getting played. You and I discuss student athletes. He's saying that college sports is in the ICU. I don't know what that really means. College sports is never going away. So as long as it's still alive, I think it works. But he said it's broken. Is it broken right now? Or are these are growing pains, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to press the panic button because, you know, if you do that, then that's what happens. People panic and you don't know what happens to your support. If you're basically saying, hey, we think we're going to have to shut the doors in 5 years, why would somebody support you? So you're not trying to be too much of an alarmist. And yet you also want to share with people, hey, these decisions we're making, particularly around NIL, and these collectives and what could be employment issues, or if student athletes became employees, or if you had to start to revenue share with your teams. I mean, if we have to start revenue sharing, which was it was proposed in California, did not pass, and will likely come back up in a year when it can, based on their legislative cycle. You know, this is how you fund your Olympic sports, or the sports, I don't want to say non-revenue, but the sports who don't generate revenue, or the sports who don't generate a profit. And for so many of us, I think there's 1,200 or something like that schools, Division I, II, and III, who participate in sports. Okay, there's like 365 or 70 that are considered Division I that could play in the NCAA basketball tournament. So when you think about how many schools there are, and how many, there is like 200,000 student athletes. You think about how many people are impacted by what we're doing right now. It is scary to think what might happen if all of a sudden I had to shift all my revenue and somehow share it with some portion of my student athletes. Well, then where would the money come from to fund those programs who don't generate any revenue? Like, it is not the fault of the student athlete that, let's say golf, for example, UAB, we're very good at golf, mm-hmm. and we've got a great history in golf. Well, when we host one tournament a year, we don't charge admission for that event.
Yeah.
That's not the golfer's fault, nor is it the coach's fault. That is our strategic decision to not charge, because basically the majority of the people that are out there watching are the parents of the young men and women, and a few fans who like the sport and are following along. But it's not worth the effort of trying to sell a ticket out there at the, you know, first tee, so we don't do it. Well, that's, you know, if I have to give my football revenue to my football players, one, how will I fund football? Two, how will I fund everything else? And so I'm concerned about the Olympics, not just the Olympic sports in college, but I'm talking about the United States Olympics. It is the feeder program. College athletics is the feeder program for the Olympics. I mean, how good would Olympic swimming be without, you know, Auburn, Tennessee, Stanford, Michigan, you know, and so many others, you know, these kind of high profile, the sort of the top swimming programs, not to leave anybody out because there's obviously plenty of others. But, you know, you see, my point is, you know, our track program in the Olympics, those young people, you go back and you say, well, where are they from? Well, you know, they are from this town and grew up here, and then they went to college at University of blank and were so good. Vanetta Flowers, she was a track athlete here and won the gold medal in the bobsled.
Yeah.
Where did she train to be such a great sprinter and so powerful and so strong for 4 years?
Right here.
UAB.
Yep.
So you see, what the point is, you know, what does that have? And I'm proud of the Olympics. I love watching how dominant the United States is, particularly in the summer. That's fun for me. I take pride in that. I think our country does and should take pride in that. And so I worry about that. There's so many other implications down the line, because I don't know how you would fund these other teams if you had to, you know, remove your revenue and then give it directly to the athlete.
Mark, something else we take pride in around here is our country, and we just celebrated our 247th birthday a couple of days ago. We're recording the show right here on July 6th, and of course that would be our Independence Day. And of course, one of the things we take pride in is our national anthem. Some people may actually say it's their favorite song. I love it when a little girl who's like 4 or 5 years old is asked, what's your favorite song? You're waiting for Lady Gaga or something for Taylor Swift. And she says the national anthem. If that don't bring a tear to you, right? So you came up with the idea of our four favorite renditions of the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, for our list this week.
Yeah,
and I know you always have honorable mentions, so I'll allow you to do those first. You are my honorable mention kind of guy. We have no time limits here.
Yeah, you asked if we could omit Whitney Houston. I said no because she's top of my list.
Yeah, and I said Jimi Hendrix too, because I mean I don't know
on my list.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's your two. I took Jimmy only because you got to put it on there. I mean, it's the most well-known national anthem outside Francis Scott Key writing the stupid thing. I mean, it's the best rendition of that song, period. I mean,
yeah, Woodstock 1969 plays the national anthem, and it was incredible. And you know, Joe Satriani, who has done the same thing, his version, but on the guitar many times. Joe Satriani's played the national anthem many times at games, mainly baseball games, like Oakland A's games, and kind of in that part of the country where he lives. He's done that many, many times.
Yeah. All right. So give me some of your honorable mentions, and we'll get into them, because I've got one I know is going to blow your socks off, and I can't wait to hear your response. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So a few that were really good. That I don't want to say that I was surprised. That's not true. But Cher had a great one at a Super Bowl. Carrie Underwood, great singer at the Super Bowl. Faith Hill, about 20 years ago, a killer one. And then, but two of my favorites that are in my honorable mention category are Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
What a beautiful voice she had.
Oh, yeah.
And Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross sang the Super Bowl, and it was how can I put it? It was like it was flawless the way he sang it. And it just was, there was nothing extra about it, right? Mm-hmm. It was just not flat in terms of, you know, in the musical sense, but he just, it was like it was a perfect rendition. There was no, he didn't personalize it to himself. He didn't try to like over glamorize any of the notes. He just went flat out there and just did it. And anyways, really smooth, and you know, great voice that he has too. But those were some of my honorable mentions.
Do you like artists that come in and sing it to a T and just put their little bit of a spin on it? Or do you like some artists that actually change it up quite a bit?
No, I don't like that.
You don't like that? You're a traditional kind of guy, standard conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, somebody, a veteran told me one time regarding the flag.
Yeah.
He said the American flag was not intended to be waved.
Yeah.
The American flag was intended to be hung on a flagpole, and it may wave in the breeze, but to not pick it up and swing it around.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that the military teaches, or flag etiquette that is taught in the military, or maybe he just made it up. Yeah. I don't know. But it's sort of in that vein. It's from that sort of place that, to me, I just think that, like when Fergie did what she did, I know she was just trying to be artistic, and mm-hmm. I know she was trying to be different, and it just came out bad. But what a terrible thing, right? Roseanne Barr sings the national anthem. First of all, why would you ask Roseanne Barr, who isn't a singer,
yeah.
and then criticize her for having a horrible version, right?
Yeah.
But Fergie is a wonderful singer who just, you know, tried something. It just didn't go.
Yeah.
But I think that's what you run into, or that's the fear, is that you have this rendition. Everybody goes, wow, okay, you missed on that.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go first. I'm just going to say Jimi Hendrix, because I mean, I've got to mention Jimi Hendrix. And normally something so big, I think we've done what, like greatest guitarist or whatever. When Jimi Hendrix, we just said he's going to be up there. So we're just going to skip that. But if we're not going to skip it, I've got to put Jimi Hendrix up there, just because it's the most well-known Star Spangled Banner that we've ever heard. Like you mentioned, at Woodstock back in the 60s and 69. And it's just amazing. And still, whenever you hear any type of soundtrack, we're the official detonation station for Thunder on the Mountain this past week. We played it. You got to play it. If you don't play it, people get angry with you. it's just that good. So I'm going to go with Jimi Hendrix, and then we can move on. What you got?
Well, and I won't, you know, I guess I'll say Whitney again, 1991 Super Bowl. I went back and watched that because I just remembered that it was so great. Mm-hmm. But I was like, why was it? You know, and it's because her voice is so powerful, was so powerful. But it was like effortless. She just, it's like she could have sang to that entire stadium without a microphone. You know, it was so good.
The timing was important there too, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was right after 9/11 and
no, this was 91.
Oh, 91. Oh, gotcha. Sorry. I've got my dates totally messed up.
And when you time up, I love when they time up the national anthem. You know, they always try to do this, and sometimes, you know, obviously they do a better job than others. But when the flyover comes in screaming across the stadium, right. You know, on that last note, man, if you don't have chills running down your spine when that happens, it's like, holy cow. You know, take your breath away when those planes fly over. And so really, really great. You mentioned Hendrix. Okay, so I tell you somebody who, again, I don't want to say she surprised me because of how good she was, but because of the fact that she is artistically so unique, I guess is the way I'll phrase it. I thought Lady Gaga did the Super Bowl in 2016, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
I did. And and she put a little energy into it and kind of played to the crowd a little bit, which again, some people say you should not do, but boy, it was good. I mean, yep. She's a great singer. And anyway, I think because she's, you know, she wears the wild outfits, kind of like Cher, you know, she wears wild outfits and stuff at her concerts. And she's sort of known for edgy sort of across the line, you know, type stuff. You know, did I step over the line with how, you know, forward or how edgy she is? But then she did the national anthem and she was wearing this red suit, you know, and her hair wasn't all crazy and her makeup wasn't all, she wasn't wearing a wild hat or anything. And she just came out there and I just thought respectfully did it right.
She's Madonna for me. She's Madonna times 100. Madonna doesn't know when to shut it down. Right now, she's really sick. A lot of people think she's on her deathbed, but Lady Gaga also did A Star Is Born. She's a hell of an actress. And when she did the whole thing with Tony Bennett, that put me over the top. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, it's cool, right?
When you're a great singer, you're a great singer, period. I mean, I wasn't into the big hats. She did put it out there quite a bit early in her career, but who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't? She's got the body. She did her thing. So
she's an artist and she's proud to be living.
She's fantastic. Speaking of Super Bowls, I'm going to give you a little trivia question. There's only two people who have sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl twice. Do you know who it is?
Ooh, golly. Was Luther one of them?
Aaron Neville was one.
Did he do it with Aretha?
I think he did actually do it with Aretha.
And maybe she did it by herself.
I think you're right. But there's only two, so that would account for two for Aretha. So she either did it by herself or she did it with Aaron. That was it. The other one was one of my best Super Bowls, only because I couldn't wait to hear it. But Billy Joel. And Billy Joel's did it in 2017, did it back in 2007. I'm thinking to myself, what is this going to sound? Because Billy Joel's got a great voice. I love him. Yeah. But I don't think, when I think about national anthems or Star Spangled Banners, I don't think of Billy Joel singing that. And by the way, it is one of the most difficult songs to sing, period. It is. It's got three different octave changes in it. It's very, very difficult. But I'm going to go with Billy Joel. And I thought he just absolutely killed it. I just thought he's such a blue-collar every guy's kind of singer. He sings songs about, you know, mining down in Pennsylvania. He sings about New York and he's just so American to me. And it just seems like it was such a perfect fit for Billy Joel to sing the national anthem, not once, but twice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that. I'm a huge fan of his too. We don't talk about him or, you know, because we kind of lean towards more classic rock stuff.
But
fantastic. That's a great one. Okay, so my last one is who just did it. 2023, Chris Stapleton. I thought was awesome. And I don't want to say I'm not a country fan. I don't generally just turn on country music and listen to country music. I have certain songs or certain artists that I like and I can listen to them, but I can't just like turn on the radio and listen to whatever comes on the way that I could with rock music. But I've seen Chris Stapleton. How about this? Chris Stapleton opened. He opened for Guns N' Roses in Nashville.
No, Carrie Underwood is opening up for Guns N' Roses right now.
Isn't that hilarious?
I mean, I don't know how it works, but they're both fans of each other, and I can't imagine going to a Guns N' Roses concert and listening to Carrie. And I know she can rock a little bit, but I mean, Chris Stapleton maybe. Let me tell you something. You know, the Rock the South is coming up. And I've never been, and he's the headliner. And there's a song called Fire Away that he did that they played the first 30 seconds of it in the 30-second TV commercial. I had never heard the song, And I heard him hold a note out, and I was like, wow, that is really amazing. And I was like, who is that? And I looked at the TV, and I saw it was Chris Stapleton. And I went and downloaded the song after I heard 30 seconds of it. I thought, that song, the video is really kind of funky. It deals with suicide and it's kind of scary, but man, that guy can sing. That guy's unbelievable.
Really soulful. Was it kind of like what you're saying about Billy Joel? He's America. You know, that's kind of the way Chris Stapleton comes across too, is he's just a good old guy that picked up the guitar one day and started singing. And you know, that's what, you know, I don't know his background, but that he has that sort of everyman kind of appearance about him. Oh,
Looks like he should be on Duck Dynasty.
Some of these guys look like they could be GQ models, right? They're running around stage and they're you know, all handsome and fit and whatever.
Kenny Chesney.
And, yeah, I mean, he's just a dude that just, he just gets up there and gets after it. But anyway, I thought his version this past spring, I was just really excited by the job he did this past Super Bowl.
Somehow, and this is the UAB director's chair. He is the UAB athletic director, Mark Ingram. We'll have some special stuff going on next week when you listen to the show. So make sure you tune in here. Of course, you can hear it on the TKR app and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Our most listened to show here on Tony Curry Radio. And because we're right around the corner from the UAB campus. Super excited and wonderful to have Mark on every single week. Somehow I've got three left. I don't know how.
I just kept talking. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So do you know who Gary Hoey is?
Oh, sure.
Gary Hoey did a rendition of Hocus Pocus from Focus back in 1970, I think it was. And he actually took that song. That song did not rank any higher than 181st outside the Netherlands, which is where Focus was from. He took that same song and took it to number 5 in the Billboard Top 100 charts back in, I think it was the early 70s. And I got a chance to bring him up to the studio, and we became friends. And anytime he was remotely near Birmingham, whether it was Atlanta, Nashville, whatever, he would make a trip into the studio and he would hang out with us when I was doing classic rock. And then again, when I was doing jocks, and he'd bring his guitar with him and he could play the Star Spangled Banner. Now, he has not done a Super Bowl, but he has played hundreds, if not thousands, of ball games. I think he played the San Francisco Giants home opener this year. I mean, the guy's just he just plays a beautiful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. I'm going to go with Gary Hoey. Here's, I got one for you.
Okay.
Kiss Alive 3.
What?
Yes, 1975, the follow-up to the follow-up to the Kiss Alive 1975. Go pull up Kiss Alive 3. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And pull up their Star Spangled Banner. I listened to it because I knew we were going to do the show, and I started going through some of my record albums, and I found Kiss Alive 3. I think a lot of people didn't realize they had Kiss Alive 3. But you know Kiss, they're going to sell everything they can, right? But they did a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner on Kiss Alive 3, and it is outrageous, and it is fantastic. And there is no other band out there that teaches you what America's all about. It is the land of opportunity, is the land of the free, and Kiss has proven that with, I mean, the hell, they got Kiss coffins. You can buy a Kiss car, for God's sakes, and they're still touring. I'm going to go Kiss Alive 3, 1975, that's of course, awesome. The follow-up. Yeah, you need to check it out. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to check that out, yeah.
And finally, August 31st, 2023, UAB taking on NCANT. Tony Curry singing the national anthem at Protective Life Stadium. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff, kids. So make sure you get down there early. And I was going to tell you, you need to hire some extra police enforcement because there is going to be a heck of a crowd down there just to see me sing. Now,
Are you going to have that lizard on a leash?
You know what? I was going to go with the Tegu, and you told me I couldn't do it, despite the fact that it doesn't spit anything and it's purely safe.
10-foot long lizard.
I'm the one that's going to be taking the liability. I'll sign whatever you want. All I got is run around. You want to do that crazy motorcycle thing, which is super cool. I get that. You know what would be cool is if I'm driving the motorcycle with the Tegu on my shoulder. Then you throw in the whole third down thing with Truck Works, and you got the Godzilla shooting fire out of his mouth.
Want to add one more thing. I want you in like an Evel Knievel outfit, and you jump over some cars you sprint out of the on the motorcycle. You sprint out of the tunnel. The team's behind you, and you've got flames coming off your back. And you jump over, and the lizard's on your shoulder.
Yes, You don't think that'd make ESPN top 10? I think I got some Evel Knievel grippies, some underwear when I was like 6 or 7 years old. I could probably wear it out there. Yeah, we all did.
Would be like the movie Semi Pro when the bear gets loose at the game.
Yeah,
that lizard's going to start running around the stadium, and everybody's going to scatter and run for their own lives.
Is it going to be like Cocaine Bear? It'll be a cocaine lizard. That thing will just be going crazy through the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
No, you know, it doesn't have to be the NCANT game, which, by the way, again, 7 o'clock kickoff coming up August 31st. I don't expect to get the first spot because I realize that you're probably going to have a flyover. You're probably going to have, because it'll be the first game in the AAC, you're probably going to have someone famous. If you need me to call Taylor Hicks for you, by the way, I mean, we're only happy to do that.
Okay.
He owes me something because I've actually gotten him a couple of gigs at Talladega Super Speedway to sing the national anthem, and I got him another gig in Louisville, Kentucky. So if you want him to sing, and I'm being serious here, let me know. I'd be more than happy to get him. He'd probably do an acoustic thing for you. But yeah, you got what? How many home games? 6 or 7 home games? You can pick which one you want me to sing at. I probably need a little more time, and I do need to put together a tape for you. Because I told you I'd sing it first for you so you could see what it's going to sound like, because I don't want to scare you, because I know I scare some people. But that will be probably one of my top four, top five national anthems all
the time. Okay, you're putting it out there now.
Yeah. I'm going to push it. Listen, I've got means. I know people with the UAB organization outside yourself, of course. I will make it onto the field and I will sing a bar of the national anthem. You can either let me do it or I can just do it on my own. So we'll talk about that later. Hey, great show. UABSports.com. UABSports.com. He is the athletic director. As always, very grateful to have you on every single week. Keep doing your thing. I love you, man.
Same here, man. Have a great week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.